grace upon grace upon grace. So if you'll open up your Bibles and just take out your outline as we take a look at the gift of forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. I want you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And we see, forgiveness is like a coin. Okay? And it's something that God wants us to use as everyday currency in our relationship with one another and with others. But it's a coin, and it has two sides to it. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 presents one side of that coin of God's forgiveness for us. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 is the other side of that coin as we take a look and just examine what God has said about forgiveness, okay? But here in Ephesians chapter 1, are you there? I'll give you a hand, a help. It's in the New Testament. I know that. I know you do. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Take a look what he said. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Amen? The greatness of his gift is his Son, Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, he gives us grace upon grace, and the gifts that he bestows upon us through Jesus Christ every day of our lives. The first one we're looking at today is the gift of forgiveness. Now turn, if you will, over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Sometimes we find so much joy in our hearts about the first side of the coin. I'm forgiven. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sins, and my sins, all my sins are forgiven. I'm cleansed and I'm washed clean under the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Yes, praise God indeed. But the other side of the coin, sometimes we have a little bit of a challenge, because it's part of our responsibility in the gift of forgiveness. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Ah, there's that word. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us. That's the other side of the coin. And that's a grace gift that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So if you have your outline out, I just have a couple of statements, if you don't mind me just reading by way of introduction, okay? It has been well said, and I believe that it's an accurate assessment, that many of the mental institutions would be released into society as productive and functioning individuals if they could only experience the freedom and wellness that forgiveness brings. Forgiveness brings wellness and healing. It really does. And this is, I think this is an accurate assessment. Let's go on. Many psychiatric wards in the hospitals, and we have some here in the hospitals locally, like in Chambersburg, will be able to release their patients and return to their families if they would come to know and experience the change that forgiveness brings. I believe that with all my heart. I know that by personal experience. Let's go on to the next. Many marriages could be healed and made whole again if the conflicting partners would truly forgive one another. That's true. It really is. Let's go on. Many families could be healed and united if the grace of forgiveness was a regular experience and the commitment of each family member. That's true also. Many a church could be made whole, healthy, and fruitful again if its members would obey Christ and practice the grace of forgiveness with one another. That's true also. Now these statements are confirmed by some recent studies in various clinics, especially the Mayo Clinic. It's also, these statements are affirmed, if you will, confirmed in biblical counseling. They are also confirmed in church growth studies, incidentally. But you know, the most important thing is that these statements are affirmed by God's Word. The power of God for forgiveness, and what forgiveness brings, healing, wholeness, a greater fullness to that relationship. Let's go on, if you will. Take a look at the forgiveness passages in Psalms. When David had committed adultery, he committed murder, and both of those acts were punishable by death, according to the Mosaic law. David was forgiven. He not only committed adultery and murder, but he lived a life of deception for almost a whole year. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He goes on to say there in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then again in verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. David experienced forgiveness time and time again, not just that one time. And you and I have experienced the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The joy, the blessing of forgiveness, as David recounts in another psalm, blessed is the man, you can translate that, happy is the person, joyful is the person, whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. Yes, the grace of forgiveness through Jesus Christ brings healing, brings wholeness, brings transformation. Take a look at Mark 2. And when Jesus saw their faith, the men who brought that paralytic man, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Of course, he did that on the Sabbath, so that was check number one, according to the Pharisees and Sadducees against him, that he would do something like that on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day. But then he goes on, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Check number two. Who can forgive sins except God alone? Well, isn't that the point? Isn't that the point? He is God incarnate, God in the flesh. He goes on to say, there in Matthew, as Matthew records, "I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Often forgiveness results in physical healing, emotional healing, to be sure, spiritual healing. So if you are offering the Lord in His Sermon on the Mount, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, talking about a worship experience, the believers at that time, they would bring their sacrifice, their offerings, maybe a peace offering, maybe a thanksgiving offering, maybe a sin offering. But notice what he says. And there you remember that your brother has something against you. You've offended him. You've done something that hurt him, is what he's saying. Leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. See how important forgiveness is to the Lord. It's a real priority. It's to be a priority in our lives as children of God. It's the other side of the coin, but you have to first experience the first side, being forgiven of God, reconciled to Him, to the life, the ministry, the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And having been forgiven by God and reconciled to Him, therefore we who have by grace, through faith in Christ alone, have been forgiven, we then can forgive others. God the Son is saying here that forgiveness is more important than worship, true worship. First go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. You see the priority that God puts on forgiveness. And what a great gift it is, amen? Amen? Have you opened that gift every day? Have you? And have you shared that gift of forgiveness with others? Or have you hidden it? As we continue in our study here, our forgiveness from God, we have a number of verses that give us great encouragement and affirmation of the wonderful, amazing forgiveness that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that all our sins are paid for, all of our transgressions are forgiven. Take a look. When we were saved, that's when forgiveness, true forgiveness, really came into our lives, into your life, into my life. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Remember that verse we just read in the very beginning? Then it goes on, forgiveness is setting free. I find it interesting. There's a number of words that have been that are used in the Bible for forgiveness. One of the words that Paul seems to love to use, as guided by the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of His word, is a word, perdonai, which means, which has its root base as grace. Which reminds us that all forgiveness, God's forgiveness of us through Jesus Christ, is an act of grace. I don't buy it. I don't earn it. And, you know, my forgiveness of a brother or sister in Christ, they don't buy it. They don't earn it. It's grace. It's grace. And so we have here, forgiveness is a setting free from bondage, imprisonment, and the penalty of sin. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. Have you been there? I have. And you have too. From the moment that you were born, sin was in your life. And as you grew up, sin began to control your life and my life, our lives. Then when you met Jesus Christ and received Him into your life as your Lord and Savior, those chains were broken. Forever broken. Truly, truly, I say to everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So if the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. Forgiveness is the breaking of sin and Satan's power. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, that's in Jesus. Aren't you glad? You have a new law that's working in your life, in my life, in the life of the body of Christ, the church. And the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Forgiveness is a breaking of sin and Satan's power. Forgiveness brings healing and reconciliation. And all of those verses, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's also in the New Testament. I know you know that. Come on, lighten up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're looking at verses 17 through 19. Where we see that forgiveness brings healing and reconciliation, but it doesn't stop there. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. We love verse 17. It's a great verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You're a new creation. Think of that. A whole new start, a whole new future, a whole new life, a whole new family. You're a new creation with a whole new purpose to glorify God. But then he doesn't stop there. And all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Wow! Along with forgiveness, he's given us something along with that grace gift. The ministry of reconciliation. Take a look at verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us. Not just Paul, not just Peter, not just John, but to us, all of us. The message of reconciliation. So, you know, when God first forgave us, when we are first saved in Christ, through faith in Christ alone, forgiveness brings that healing and reconciliation, but it also bestows upon you, upon me, upon the body of Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. That goes along with forgiveness. That goes along with forgiveness. In fact, oftentimes reconciliation is put in parallel with forgiveness. So you can say that forgiveness brings reconciliation, and reconciliation brings further forgiveness. That's the way God works. Aren't you glad? Nice, you're glad. Let's go on. In our daily walk, because we had the time that we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, when you and I were saved, when we were born again, when we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, when we were regenerated, when we're brought into the family of God. But then, what about our walk from that moment on? We do have a walk with Christ every day. Well, in our daily walk, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know that verse. I know you do. Many of you probably have memorized that verse. It's a great verse to memorize, isn't it? But in our daily walk, forgiveness brings freedom from guilt and a clean heart before God. Something that you and I need every day. Every day. But also, according to this verse, in the entirety, if you will, 1 John, that forgiveness that God gives freely, graciously, fully, forgiveness heals a broken fellowship with God and with others. You see, John's talking about, really about forgiveness. John is really writing about fellowship. Fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, and because of Christ, our Savior, and relationship with Him as Savior, we have fellowship with one another. What will cloud that fellowship with God? What will cloud that fellowship with one another? The darkness of sin. You see, God's got that covered in your life and my life too. That's what that passage is all about. That forgiveness. God's style of forgiveness. Not yours or mine, but God's style of forgiveness. Or remove that dark cloud of broken fellowship with God and with one another. You see how important and how amazing and how wonderful that gift of forgiveness is? You see, Jesus really is that gift that keeps giving. Aren't you glad? Amen. Yeah. Forgiveness brings victory over Satan's power and sin's influence and bondage. Paul clearly tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. One of the works of the devil in the life of the believer, in the life of the church, is to encourage a spirit of unforgiveness. Did you know that? To encourage and foster a spirit of unforgiveness. Because he knows that when we're forgiven of God, that bond is broken. That fellowship is whole. When there's forgiveness between brothers and sisters in Christ, that fellowship is healed. When forgiveness is in a marriage, that marriage is healed and made whole. When forgiveness is in a family, the family to be open and whole again in Christ. When forgiveness is in the body of Christ, the church is healed and made whole and made fruitful again. That's why it's so important. That's why we begin with the gifts that Christ gives us. That we begin with that gift this morning, the gift of forgiveness. And how appropriate is it not that we talk about the gift of forgiveness and we celebrate the table of the Lord that reminds us of the great basis of our forgiveness of God and our forgiveness of one another. Amen? Our forgiving others who offend, hurt, or sin against us. That's the other side of the coin. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. In Colossians, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Forgiveness is a grace from God. As we mentioned before, the word there has root words, grace. God has graced us through His Son, Jesus Christ, with His forgiveness for us. And those who are forgiven by God are to forgive others in the name of Christ. Those who are graced by God can be gracious with others. That's the truth there that God presents not only in His word, but produces in our lives. In your life, in my life, together. So forgiveness is a grace from God. Why should we forgive others? Well, let me just share with you five reasons. Because we have been forgiven by God. The forgiven are the ones who forgive. Forgive the best. Be kind to one another, tender heart of forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Another reason is because our Lord commands us to forgive others as He has forgiven us. In Matthew 5, 23-24, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's in the Sermon on the Mount. That's a command. Number 3, so we do not give Satan and sin power over our lives. That's another reason why we forgive one another. So we don't give that foothold that Satan can have in our lives, in our marriages, in our family, in Christ's church. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. and give no opportunity to the devil. Another reason, number four, is so others will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, true forgiveness, speaks volumes to a world that only says, gee, I'm sorry. And the response is, oh, that's all right. Didn't mean anything. How good. And yet, the person who has been offended and says, oh, that's okay. It was nothing. Still has that. Still has that in their heart. Still has that hurt. That offense. Has never experienced. Has never experienced. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Forgiveness, true forgiveness, God's style of forgiveness. Is that something that we need to do? We must do. But it's also a mark of a true Christian life. And I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as I love them, even as you love me. That was right in the priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. Think of that. One of the things that he prayed for was unity. Well, how do you get unity when you have a brother and a brother in Christ, or a brother and sister in Christ, or a husband and wife in Christ, okay? I realize that when you have a saved husband and a lost spouse, it's different, but it's possible. Grace will overcome that. I believe it. I've seen it. I know it's true because God says it's true. But when Christ is praying for unity, that we, that the church would want, and that we would express that love for Christ, love for our Heavenly Father, and as the Spirit pours that love into our hearts, that unity also would be exercised in the grace of forgiveness. You can't have unity if you don't have forgiveness. Christ prayed repeatedly that his church would be one. He could pray that prayer because he gave that gift. The gift of himself for our forgiveness. And the gift of forgiveness. That grace that we can forgive others. Number five, why should we forgive one another? So that we can experience forgiveness and fellowship with God. Oh, that's so wonderful. It really is. It's so important that we experience that forgiveness and fellowship with God. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That's a good reason why Bill Gray needs to forgive others. That's a good reason why you do too. Five reasons. Answer that question. Why must I forgive others? When we do, now this is God's style of forgiveness. I want you to pay attention to what we have here, okay? Would you please get out your sheet if you don't have it? Because this is important. You see, God's style of forgiveness is totally different from the world's forgiveness. When we forgive, like we have been forgiven by God through Christ, we make a promise, we make a commitment when we're forgiving one another. We promise that we will never think or dwell upon that matter again. Boy, that's hard. That is hard. But really now, has God asked you something that is simple and easy that you can do on your own? Or is he asked you and me to do those things that only he can do through us? Amen? And if that's how he forgives me and you, and that's how he commands us to forgive one another, don't you think he'll give us the grace to do that? And so when it does come up, because it does come up in our minds and our thinking, and sometimes we play that videotape over and over and over again. You've been there, I've been there too. And I said, Lord, no, I forgave that person, and I want to forgive them as you have forgiven me. You don't play my old tapes before you, and I will stop by your grace and your help. I'll stop playing that old tape with them. Make it a matter of prayer. True forgiveness, God's style of forgiveness. We promise that we will not bring it up or use it, the incident, against them. You know what I mean, don't you? Because we've all done it. You know, when something isn't going our way in our marriage, and we can say to our spouse, you know what you did? Remember what you did 5 years ago? Or maybe it's something that you have short-term memory only, and you're saying, remember what you did to me yesterday? And your spouse says, well, you forgave me, and I ask for forgiveness. Yeah. Yeah. When I forgive you, you forgive me. As God in Christ has forgiven us, we make that commitment, that promise, that I will not bring it up against that one I have forgiven. To manipulate them, to hurt them, to control them. We promise that we will not talk to others about the answer. Oh, that's a big one. Isn't it? You know, we want everybody on our side. The whole jury we want on our side, don't we? All those 12 people that you told about what happened, you want on your side. Because you're defending yourself. No, you're not. And they aren't either. But that person has asked you for forgiveness. And you said, yes, I forgive you. And I will not. I will not dwell upon that. I will not bring it up and throw it in your face again. I will not. And I will not tell others about this. You see, that's God's style. And we promise that we will not let the incident hinder our personal relationship. I have personally found, and maybe you have found too, that through the grace of forgiveness between two individuals, maybe they're in the family, the same family, maybe they're in the same church, but I have personally found that when true forgiveness, forgiving one another as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, that relationship we once had that was broken because of that offense and sin, and now is now made whole again through forgiveness, that relationship becomes ever stronger. Because you're committed to that. You're committed to that. Because of Christ. You see how great that gift of forgiveness is. Amen. Well, you can say amen. We're not going to be Baptists, just say amen. Right? Amen. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. How's that gift of forgiveness working out in your life now? Is it working? Praise God. Praise God. Maybe you're here this morning and you really don't know the true forgiveness that God will give you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And maybe you have been so burdened and so weighted down with your sin, your guilt, and your shame, and you hope nobody ever finds out. Well, God knows it all. And Jesus Christ paid for all of that there at the cross. And you can turn to Him today, this morning, right now, where you're sitting, with your heart before God, and say, Lord, I know you died for my sins. And I believe you rose from the grave. Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Come into my life. Make me yours. And give me that grace upon grace that I need every day. to live a life that is pleasing to you. And Lord, in all of those graces, I know I need the grace of forgiveness, because I have people that I need to forgive today. Would you pray that? Maybe you're a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that you're saved, you know that your sin is forgiven. And somehow or other, when you receive that grace gift of forgiveness, take some of our old Christmas presents and put in a closet, somewhere in the back there. Oh, I'll get to it, I'll use it, or I'll re-gift it. Maybe you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know that you've been forgiven. But that grace gift that Christ has given you through Himself, you put away. And you've never opened it up to give to others. Maybe this morning, God's been speaking to you through His Word, through the Lord's table. Maybe the Lord is saying to you, it's time to take it out of that dark closet of your heart. Open up that gift. And give someone else the gift of forgiveness. As God has forgiven you. Father God, we thank you for the greatest of all gifts, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior, our Lord, our great intercessor, our great High Priest. Thank you for giving us in yourself and through yourself these gracious gifts, this gift of forgiveness. Lord, enable us, empower us through your Holy Spirit, who Himself is a gift given from heaven by the Father, that we would use that gift of forgiveness, not only in our relationship with our Father in heaven, but also our relationship with others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also those who are yet to believe in the Lord Jesus. People that we come in contact with every day, help us to be gracious, as you are so gracious with us, that we would have a heart and a spirit of forgiveness toward others. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus.